too deep with kind of the same talent. You know, if you go, who's the best player? Curry. Who's the second best player? Kuminga, Draymond. Then after that, you got guys with a lot of similar talent level, and you're not going to be able to play everybody. And so I don't think there's any doubt that one of the goals of this season is to be competitive, try to make the playoffs, stay out of that play-in situation or worse, and then if there's that deal that comes up, you make it, and you strike when the iron's hot. And I don't know who's going to be available. I mean, already all eyes are on Milwaukee because Giannis Antetokounmpo made a statement that, yeah, no, he, hey, if we struggle this year, maybe I'll be moved. So in the NBA, that's always kind of what you monitor.
It could have been a little tongue-in-cheek.
What was?
Giannis.
At a crossroads
That isn't really one of my big questions because I do think they will make a trade. The question is it going to be Giannis coming in or Corey Joseph going out? You know, last year they made a deal. I mean, they were active, quote, at the deadline. They just chose to move Corey Joseph for a second-round pick. So I do think that they will make a trade this season. I'm just not sure how impactful that trade will be.
Well, you know, keep in mind, after they moved Corey Joseph, they just were unbeatable on the road.
Well, it opened up minutes for Brandon Pajemski.
Yeah, it did. It absolutely did.
Kind of.
Coming up momentarily, we got Reggie Jackson. That's right, Mr. October. He's got a celebrity softball game coming up, the Reggie Jackson Softball Classic. It'll be the last game at the Oakland Coliseum. We still got one more ball game there, and it's Reggie Jackson's Softball Classic. That's going to start at 1 o'clock, and we're efforting Reggie as we speak. Reggie's not going to turn down an opportunity to speak with the media, please. Especially if he knows it's me who knows every aspect of his career.
I'm out.
Where were you when?
Oh, God, are you kidding?
He hit those three home runs.
Well, that was 78, so that puts me at 14.
Oh, and, right in your prime.
It was the year at...
too old!
The most emotional... I had a more emotional moment with the Yankees before his three home runs in 78. And that was when they won the tiebreaker against the Red Sox. They both finished...
Game 163?
Correct. You know who had the game-winning RBI in that game?
Bobby Mercer?
No, he wasn't on that team. Come on now, Evan. We got baseball covered. You stick to 90 and beyond, and I'll go before 1990.
This is also what we discussed before the show. Okay, so when we're talking to Reggie, all right, you take everything pre-1980. I'll grab everything beyond the 80s.
Exactly.
We got 6 decades worth of baseball knowledge between us.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Jay. We'll go to Jason in the Central Valley. Knowing full well, I'll cut you off if Reggie's on the phone. But I love you, Jace. What's up, buddy?
Right on, man. Thank you very much for getting me on. I appreciate you guys.
Absolutely.
Just going into the Warriors season, I kind of agree with Mr. Evan there. I feel like a trade is coming at some point this season, and that's why I think I would attribute that to the Warriors' depth, and I think that's why they acquired so much one-year contract depth on the team, because I think it's kind of like a part of the plan for them to make some sort of trade for some type of significant piece this coming trade deadline. I do like the roster, though. A lot of shooting involved, and I think there's a lot of guys on this team that's going to be highly motivated to have, you know, a quality season, especially on the coaching staff, like Terry Stotts. He's there to kind of probably jump back into a head coaching role. So there's a lot of reasons for this team to want to do well, and there's a lot of motivation. And I think those are some X factors that play into this. I think the team's going to do well. However, I still do think a trade is eventual, regardless of how the team is doing, well or not. So thank you guys for the time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, that's actually probably a good point. Is I think you can make a case no matter what way the season's going, they're probably going to make a trade. With the exception of they get to the deadline and they're, you know, 48-17. 39-17, yeah. Maybe something like that.
They're already a 50-win team by the trade deadline.
That'd be
amazing.
That would be pretty amazing.
Lindy Waters shooting the hell out of the ball.
My third question is the one that I think most people have, and it's
number 3.
What's going on with Andrew Wiggins? I mean, this is the guy who's become the enigma in the Bay Area.
I'm buying stock in Andrew Wiggins.
Is Bonte this year? Was that an old clip? Is that from 2020?
I'm buying stock in Andrew Wiggins.
Is that from 2021?
A couple months ago.
2022.
Well, to be fair, it's never been lower. Buy low, sell high.
Yeah, and you want to talk about something that's out of your control. I mean, I'll lump two and three together. I think you got to figure out who's staying, Wiggins or Kuminga. I'm not sure both can stay. So I do think that's a big part of this year, too, for the Golden State Warriors, is to figure out, you know, who's going to be a part of this team in 2 or 3 years, and who's going to be a part of this team, not a part of this team, but not a part of this team in the next 2 or 3 years. How many guys did you acquire to move for somebody who you think can help you? We got Mr. October. No kidding. Wow. By the way, real quick, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Let's head out to the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop, the one and only Reggie Jackson. Reggie, thank you so much for joining us. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, thank you. Let me see. Give me some. Give me a little bit of background here.
Sure.
Get my guy here. I want to see who I'm talking to.
Oh, you're talking to a Yankee expert from the '70s,
and an Oakland A's expert from the 2000s.
Yeah, Matt and Evan.
Matt or Evan? Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Matt, but I'm. I was a big Yankee fan back in the day, huge Yankee fan in the '70s, so very familiar with you. But let's start with Sunday, the Reggie Jackson Softball Classic. Where'd the idea come from, and why is it so important to you, Reggie?
It came to me from a guy that did an event for Jackie Robinson a couple of years ago, and I want to say in Dodger Stadium, and it's called One Last Time, a Softball Classic on the 27th. And he's a minority, and his name of his company is called Change the Game Sports. His name is Brian Amlani, A-M-L-A-N-I, Amlani. And so a few of my friends had talked to me about doing something for the city. I've been involved there with my foundation and the Board of Education of the City of Oakland for about the last 10 or 12 years of doing some funding with a STEM curriculum up on Skyline.
Sure.
And so we've been there for several years and have always had a good relationship with the city and this city council and the Board of Education, et cetera. And so my foundation's been in there for many years. And then, of course, from there, I can run right to the fact that I'm still in Oakland A. I still have a home in the area. Love the place. Very sad that the team is leaving. And anybody that I talk to, they're all sad. There's nobody, even people in Las Vegas are saying, gosh, we don't want to be thought of as the people that are stealing the team. This is the Vegas fans, because I'm a Raider fan, and I go over there and get recognized, and people talk about, you know, we don't want to be known as the people that stole Oakland's teams. So they're sensitive as well, and I just thought, and a few guys think that whether it's Barry Bonds or Ricky, Dennis Eck, Matt Barnes, Stu, LaRussa, Coco Crisp, all those guys can say though that are coming. It's just, you know, I'm excited about it. You get the people there for one more last time, and I'm sure that we'll speak to the crowd and to the people. Hopefully we can get somewhere between 500 and 7,500 people out there. We've got some tickets, or, you know, you get them on Ticketmaster, and there's different levels, et cetera, but we'll share the dollars with the local charity, or at least the school system that we work in and work with. But you know, it's called One Last Time, One Last Game. Let's have a rerun and kind of enjoy and, I don't know, hold hands together in our spilt milk and our tears and be together one more time. And, you know, from Reggie's Regiment to 2024.
So, Reggie, it's a pleasure to be talking with you. And again, you know, people can go check out and get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. I did want to ask you just, I had a chance to be at the last day's game. I know that you were there towards the end of the season. And I just, from being there as a kid growing up, you've had so many experiences there. You know, what does it sort of mean to have the last ball game at the Coliseum essentially on Sunday to you?
I'm glad that we have a chance to do that, celebrate as a group. And as a group, I say fans and players, the TV personnel as well that have been there for so long, guys like John Shea and, you know, those guys that have been around there for a very long time and have Monty Poole and have an appreciation for, you know, the town and the city. It's painful for everybody. You know, Oakland is going to miss out on, you know, sports becoming bigger and better and greater all the time. And so, you know, it's a sad day, but it's a day that we're going to, you know, share some happiness together and stuff like that.
The great Reggie Jackson joining us on 95.7 The Game. And, I mean, what a great time to have you on, Reggie. Obviously, the Dodgers and Yankees are getting ready to play the World Series starting tomorrow. So I'd love to turn back the clock a little bit. And we played a highlight of your third homer in the three-homer game in Game 6. But that whole year was absolutely unbelievable. You guys were down 14 games.
No. Be careful.
Be careful.
That's 78. We led all year.
77 was the three homers. The next year you were loaded again, and Billy got fired, and they brought in Bob Lemon.
That's right. You guys
came back from 14 games back, and you played in 163 games. You played the Red Sox in that 5-4 game, obviously. Have you ever played in a game with that much pressure? Was that the most pressure-filled game? Because you knew you don't win that one. You don't even go to the playoffs.
Well, that's true. You know, I think I played in a game 7 with the Mets, and I don't know if there's more pressure there. I guess there's probably more pressure in where if you lose, you go home and get nothing. And I think at that year, we each won 98 games, I think in 78. And, you know, you needed to play the 163rd game, and it was a special time and a special moment to hit a ball that was over the left, that I thought was over the left field fence off Tourette's. And it was windy in October. It was different. That sun was up, and the wind, and it was cool. It was in the 50s, which was, you know, great football weather, and fall baseball was, when it's cool and the wind blows, it lets you know that you're in postseason. I thought I'd hit a home run my first time up. And wind kept it in. And then the next time up, I hit a bullet to the right field of Dewey Evans.
Yeah.
And didn't get the ball up. And I was, you know, cussing and shaking my head and pounding on my leg there that I didn't get that ball in the air. But, you know, between Bucky Dent and a three-run homer he hit and Ronnie Guidry, I remember Rick Guidry, we were looking for a pitcher on Sunday after the game. We had lost to Rick Wise in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost the game and wound up tying because if we'd have won, we wouldn't have tied. And then Guidry was lockered near me, and he got up and walked in the manager's office, and he told Lemon, "I'm pitching tomorrow." And I want to say he pitched on Friday.
He may have, Well, you had, here's the other thing people don't remember. You had the game-winning RBI in that game.
Right, right.
You got one that night, that day.
Yeah, they brought in Bob Stanley, who was one of the better relievers in the league at that time. Now, we have Gossage, but they brought in Bob Stanley, and then the guy named Quisenberry was with Kansas City, but Stanley was the premier right-hander, and he came in and threw up a long ball to me. I think at the time it might have been 5-4-3 or something. And I don't think there was a man on, but it made it 5-3.
Yes.
And that gave us the win. So I must have hit a 2-run home or something, but it was something like that. But anyway, I think we won 5-4.
Yeah, it was a solo homer, Reggie. But I think you were up 4-2. And then it made it 5-2, and then they got tight in the ninth inning.
Yeah, it was 5-4, I think we won.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, but, yeah, I remember that day. Goose was on the mound. Gidry was on the mound. It was a wonderful day, and then Bucky hit the big home run. And he'll always be remembered as Bucky freaking Dent.
In Boston, yeah.
Well, Reggie, speaking of knowing when you get one or when you get a hold of it, I just have a lasting image of Juan Soto, who drove the Yankees through the postseason, especially the ALCS, the last home run against Cleveland in extra innings. He knew he got that home run. And one thing I always remember when I watch old clips of you hit is when you hit it, you knew. And I'm just wondering, because I don't know if there were many players either before or around that time that would, you know, express just how far they knew that ball was going to pimp a home run, so to speak. Where did that come from? Did you have players before you that did that, or was that something that was always just a part of your game? The father of the pimp job, Reg.
Well, here's what I would say. Is this, am I talking to Matt or Eric?
This is Evan.
Evan, I'm sorry. Evan, I had a style of hitting home runs, but I don't think that I pounded my chest or looked in the dugout or stared down the pitcher. I had a style, a couple, a walk and a few steps, but I ran the bases. If you'd look at any of my homers, I ran the bases. And came around, and when I got to home, I walked the last 2-3 steps. Mm. But I didn't look in the sky, and thank God, I didn't pound my chest, and I didn't say, look at me, because I expected to hit another one a few times later. So I admire the skill set of Soto. I would more want to pattern my home run style of Aaron Judge.
Mm. We are talking to Reggie Jackson, and the reason why is because he's holding the Reggie Jackson Softball Classic on Sunday at the Oakland Coliseum. Reggie going to be joined by Barry Bonds, Dave Stewart, Dennis Eckersley, Ricky Henderson, Jose Canseco, Coco Crisp, many, many more. You can get tickets to the game at Ticketmaster.com, or you can also search Reggie Jackson's Instagram page and the link in his bio. So that's the way to get out to the Coliseum to see the final game there, the official final game, as we're calling it here, and we're thankful Reggie joined us to talk a little bit about the game. I want to ask you about the night of the Rickwood Field game, if you don't mind, because obviously I think you told a story that a lot of fans didn't know about, and I was just wondering, it was so powerful, and you know, obviously you use words there that are very provocative, and I'm just wondering how the feedback is that you got from that game, because it was an incredibly important moment.
What I would say to you is I'm glad it was riveting. I'm proud of what anyone that has said to me has always been uplifting and thanking me for pausing and making the points that I did. I told the truth, and I threw cold water on a so-called wonderful evening just to get people to look at really happened. And I've had so many people, more white than black. We have more white people in the country than black, so it was an even keel of percentages of people, but everyone that said anything to me was positive, and thank you. Several people said to me, I had no idea. And so with that, I was stunned that people thought that people were surprised that I went through that. Not necessarily me, but just what the 60s was like.
Right.
I remember fire hoses and fire hydrants and dogs and horses, nightsticks and things like that. In the South that we watched on TV. I remember being afraid to go into the South, being afraid of a person that had a Southern accent when I was 15 years old, 12 years old. Being afraid to go to the University of Oklahoma and be the first black football player, or to go to Duke and be the first black football player, was a scary time for me as a child, as a kid, on up to 25, 6, 7, 8 years old. You're a young person. You're still a kid and you're still learning. And so I'm pleased with the way that day happened. The way the interview happened, I thought that interview was defined by, Dan Patrick on his show. I heard what he said about it, and if you get a chance to ever listen to it again, listen to how he describes it, because he does a wonderful job of expressing himself, with what I said. And so I'm very thankful the way the public has received it. And I don't recognize your voices, but if it's Matt or Evan, I thank you for the question.
Well, anyway, we got a lot of love rolling in for you, Reggie. This is Evan, and whether it's from our text line, people before knowing that you were coming on today, not just about the comments and really all the vulnerable experiences that you shared at the Rickwood Field event, but also for all the legends that you're bringing together on Sunday at the Reggie Jackson Softball Classic. You know, whether it's Barry Bonds, Eck, Ricky, Canseco, many more, and of course people can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. You know, I did want to ask you, have you ever had conversations as one of the greatest home run hitters to ever step between the lines? You know, you got Bonds coming out. Canseco obviously has a lot of power. Have you guys ever discussed or, I don't know, talked about who you think the greatest of all time is? And where does someone like Shohei Ohtani in regards to great hitters and historic hitters fit into that conversation in your mind?
Ohtani is certainly a great hitter, and so is Judge. I think the best hitter that I saw, it's hard to really say. It's hard to get past Bonds. This guy had 250-some walks one year. He could go 2-3 games not getting at bat and be in the lineup. So in comparing, Ohtani doesn't compare with Bonds. I don't know that he yet compares with Manny Ramirez, Mays, or Aaron. Those guys, and it's only because of the year after year after year after year that these guys produced and set the world on fire. I think Bonds got, I don't know, maybe 100 intentional walks in a season. But, I mean, that guy was, there wasn't any comparison. It's Ruth and Gehrig. Does Ohtani get there? He's got to show us, and he's on that path for sure. Aaron Judge has been in the league, what, 7, 8 years? He's hit 53 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Reggie Jackson joining us on 95.7 The Game. I appreciate we're kind of bouncing all over the place, but now that I have you on the phone, there's always, especially after the Rick Woodfield game, you know, obviously it became part of it. You know, you've gone through a lot, and I've wondered, you played in Oakland, obviously, in the late 60s and early 70s, and it was where the Black Panther Party was founded. And I've always wondered if you or any of the black athletes at your time who played for the A's, did you have any relationship with you know, Bobby Seale or Huey Newton and the Black Panthers who originated here in Oakland?
Well, you knew all those guys. Let me see. The guy that was Jobs, Mike, it was started Apple.
Oh, yeah, Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs, no, Steve Jobs, what's last name with a W?
Wozniak.
Steve Wozniak.
Yeah.
Yes, he was around. They would come to the games. Jerry Yang. I was on a motorcycle one day at the Harley store, and I had to go get something back at my shop, and Sonny Barger was there. He was the head of the Hells Angels. And I developed a friendship with him, and he said, "Do you need a ride?" I said, "Yes, I do. I need to ride to my shop. It's just about 2 or 3 miles away." And I got on the back of this motorcycle, and within a couple of miles, we were stopped by police. And they asked me if I was okay, because I was riding on the back with Sonny Barger. And you don't ride on the back of a Hell's Angel unless you're a woman. And so I had those experiences back in those days. But yeah, from Huey Newton to to Felix that got buried in a chariot with $1,000, $100 bills in there, and you know, all the drugs and the things like that were there, the roughhousing and the gangsters, etc. I knew the guys. I'm not going to mention their names. But, you know, the athletes were treated special, and I enjoyed it. I was dear friends with Al Davis, and that's how I got to know Mark as well. So, yeah, I remember those times. They were rocky, difficult times with murders and shootings and things. But I still have a meal on the menu at Lois the Pie Queen at 60th and Adelaide. It's the Reggie Jackson special, and I'm very proud of my Oakland roots.
Well, speaking of the city of Oakland, Reggie, it means so much to so many people in regards to their sports teams, which, of course, now is coming to a close with baseball, basketball, and football. And I just felt like there's nobody else better to ask this question to than you, who was a part both of Kansas City, came and saw the beginning of the Oakland Athletics. What is your lasting impression of baseball in Oakland when you hear that?
My lasting impression would be it's sad and it's a shame the way it ended here. You know, all the great players and the good players along the way were pushed away. I mean, the third baseman over in San Francisco, the first baseman hit 50-some homers down with Atlanta. He might have had an off year this year, hit 40. Mm-hmm. You know, and so those kinds of things are not good memories. And it's a two-way street. You can invest the money, but if the money's not coming in with sponsorship and it's not coming in through the turnstiles, you wind up getting rid of players, and it looks like a sham. It doesn't look good. It's not it's a black eye for the city. It's a black eye for sports. And the people don't deserve it.
Right.
And so, you know, but, you know, if you own the team and you're losing money, you know, it's not everybody's fault, if you will. You can blame the ownership, but, you know, I have some empathy for it. I'm disappointed. It's painful. I don't know what to really say to the people in Oakland, just that I'm here for you and I feel you. I learned something from a guy named Jim Gray who heard it from Nelson Mandela. You know, I can, what I say you might forget, and what I do you might forget, but how I make you feel when I'm with you, those 3-4 seconds you won't forget.
Wow.
And so, to me, if you feel I'm with you, I've accomplished something. If you feel I feel you, you know, and there's a slang, I feel you, bro, I feel you.
Right.
And those things are powerful. And so for me, it's a feeling of goodness when we have our celebration, our final game, our last time out, if you will, whatever it's going to be. You got to thank, you know, and a lot of the stuff I've done with charity stuff, you know, who's been a big supporter of mine is Michael Jordan and the Jordan brand.
Nice.
And Nike follows right along. So when people talk about Michael Jordan, for me, he's there for me, and I'm as much of a minority as you can possibly be. I'm very, very proud of that. And very proud that Oakland is a large population of minorities, and I feel you. So from Rawlings and Oakley and Evo Shield and Bumpbox and hey. Jordan and all the sponsors, it's like thank you, wow. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Reggie, and you were very generous with your time. 2 fried pork chops, 2 eggs, any style, choice of hash browns, grits or rice, and it comes with homemade biscuits, English muffin, oh, or wheat toast. That's the Reggie Jackson special at Lois the Pie Queen.
Like one of my buddies would say, from Walnut Creek. Oh, boy.
Reggie, thank you so much. Have a great time Sunday. It's a great thing you're doing, and hopefully there'll be a ton of people out there. Make it a great day.
Thanks, man.
Yes, sir. Reggie Jackson, courtesy of the River Islands guest line.
Wow.
The Reggie Jackson Softball Classic, Sunday at 1 p.m. at the Oakland Coliseum, Barry Bonds. Of course, Reggie is hosting. Dave Stewart, Dennis Eckersley, Ricky Henderson, Jose Canseco, Coco Crisp, Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes will be there. So if you don't have anything to do Sunday, what a great, great event that Reggie's holding. It'll be one final game at the Coliseum, and it happens on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Reggie. Yeah. Reggie.
I feel like I need a cigarette, man. Like, seriously, that's
my hero, man.
Listening to him just talk about life and weaving it in with sports and baseball, not many people can do that. Especially, he's almost 80, I think.
Yeah.
And he's still as sharp as he ever was.
Yeah, you know, obviously I was growing up when the Yankees in the 70s, he was my favorite player. And then I found out he's actually was, you know, born outside Philadelphia. So he's a Pennsylvania guy. And, you know, he was just my favorite player. And I almost butchered it.
Oh, yeah.
Reggie with it. Reggie doesn't pitch, but that was a save.
Hey.
That was a save.
He hits you with the, you better be careful. Be careful now.
Well, the Yankees,
78, Steiny.
Yankees won it in 77 and 78. Mm-hmm. And 78 was the year they were 14 back of the Red Sox. Came back and won it on the final game of the year, game 163. But the other thing, I don't mean this to correct you, but you said Reggie hit a home run on 3 pitches. So he had in the game 6.
Yeah.
Pitch, homer, pitch, homer, pitch, homer.
Yeah. Number 3.
He actually hit 4 in a row. He opened the regular season the following year with a homer on the first pitch, and that's when they showered the field with Reggie bars.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so, wow.
He was still hot.
Yeah,
he Six months later.
He was. So thank you to Reggie Jackson, and still, obviously, Oakland is a monster part of his life.
I'm kind of mad I got to go to the Niners game on Sunday.
It's a 5 o'clock game.
So I guess
but you got pregame. You got pregame.
Yeah, I started one. Honestly, to get out there and just, I don't know, just kind of bask in the presence of all those legends. That, it's the last ball game at the Coliseum.
By the way, who did he say? He basically said Ohtani stinks.
Yeah, that's what I took away from the interview, too.
Yeah.
No, but the one thing
Dodgers are done. They have no chance to win the World Series.
No, the one thing that I always...
He's only 18 for his last 22.
You know, think of with guys like that is, you know, you got to do it over a long period of time.
Yeah. I mean,
10, 15 years, and then you know, the greats will put you into the class with the greats, but
also,
a lot of fun.
Respect the walk. Okay, I feel like that's what he was also saying about Bonds. It's like, you know, just because you can hit home runs, because I don't know if Bonds ever hit more than 50 beyond the 73 home run season. He was just consistently 40, 45 over and over and over again. And it's because he got walked so much. In the year he was talking about, 2004, Bonds got walked 232 times, was intentionally walked, I believe, 112 times. And combined, that is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, offensive seasons in the history of baseball. And so, and hey, I think he was 40 when he did it. So the fact that Reggie's just like, yeah, you know, Ohtani's very good, don't get me wrong, and, you know, Judge is a great home run hitter, but they ain't touching Bonds.
Yeah.
And what makes Ohtani special, obviously, is the pitching aspect, right? Like, but that's sure. Separate from just being a hitter, and no one is in Bonds' level as a hitter.
I agree. When you think about all the players that stepped up to the plate, there was nobody who was...
Reggie might have been...
Reggie was feared.
I would say he was feared, yeah.
He was feared, but Bonds was just still on another level those years. He got walked with the bases loaded!
And it worked.
By the way, you mentioned Bob Stanley.
Buck Showalter's best move.
Bob Stanley in 1978. Bob Stanley.
I thought it was Welch.
John Sell.
Well,
Welch was. This was in the one game playoff with the Red Sox. Mm. Bob Stanley pitched for the Red Sox. He was 15-2 that year. Yeah.
And would have led the league in wins this season.
Would it have really?
No. I think Scooble had like 17 or 18. But guys don't even get out of the fifth now.
Well, you know what's funny is, you know what I did research, not research, but you know what I did look up, because for whatever reason, remember we were doing a show, I don't know if you remember, and Wilbur Wood's name came up.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be a knuckleball pitcher, and one year Wilbur Wood went 20-20. And I just started looking through Major League Baseball this year because I wanted to know what pitcher led the league in decisions.
And just decisions?
Yeah, decisions, yeah. You know, combined wins and losses and how many.
Webb? Like,
what's that?
Webb?
Logan, I don't even know.
Logan Webb?
But it's like, you know, it's like 14-11.
Well, again, like, guys don't get out of the fifth inning anymore. I think that's why they're actually talking about making it four innings, or that starting pitchers have to go five until they get to a pitch count.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Well, because you can't have a starting pitcher that's 4-2 with 30 starts.
Right.
Also, teams are using openers.
Sure.
And so they're basically just pushing the actual starter back. And it ruins the idea of a starting pitcher, because technically you are, but you're not starting until the second inning.
Well, you got to still go five innings to get a win, right, if you're a starter?
You do, but once you bring in... Oh, this is getting technical, scorekeeping.
Yeah,
great
I'm
radio.
Into it.
Great radio. But after the first, if you don't move, like let's say you get through first and then you go to the bullpen.
Right.
It's either the pitcher who pitches the fifth, or it's up to the discretion of the scorekeeper.
Correct, yeah.
But there should be an official... If you're the starter... You should get the decision. Like,
if you only go two innings?
If the opener comes in and gives up four runs in the first.
All right.
And then the starting pitcher comes in. They, like, and the game becomes tied, yada, yada. Like, that starting pitcher should get the loss.
Correct, if the game gets tied.
Yeah, but they should also be able to earn the win because they were the best pitcher in that game.
Oh, I didn't understand. I always thought if the pitcher doesn't go five, then it's up to the scorekeeper's discretion to give the win to what they call the most effective pitcher.
Yeah, and some guys are a little tougher to do than others. Oh, I mean, like, also, the love that was coming in from the Comcast Business text line throughout the interview is just incredible.
Yeah, I appreciate everybody that's already...
Reggie does have a great car collection.
Texted in and thanked us for that interview. It was all Reggie. Sometimes you just got to get out of the way, even though I was, you know, trying to interject myself.
I got to tell people about you on the other side. Watching you talk to Reggie will be a lasting memory.
Oh, cool. Well, all right. On the other side, we'll hear that, and we'll also get back to the Golden State Warriors. What a great halftime from Reggie Jackson. Download the free Odyssey app and check us out on YouTube and Twitch, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Tune in for the Warriors live today. I got to start this over. This was terrible, Steiny. Download the free Odyssey app and check us out on YouTube and Twitch, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Tune in for Warriors live today. It's presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff.
Am I talking to Matt or Eric?
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Hey! Get, lose that.
No, keep it.
That's my childhood hero. We're not making fun of him.
No, the best part, it's like, oh my God, he called me Eric. That's Reggie Jackson, man. He can call me whatever he wants.
He's too old.
Oh, boy. Well, I just finished up a text to my brother. Stick it in his face. Hey, Bob, I haven't seen you in a while. I just talked to Reggie Jackson for a half hour in your eye.
By the way, there's a couple things we have to discuss from that.
Oh.
Number one, I feel like I was watching you in 1977 over there refuse to sit still for a single second. You just couldn't do it. Were you perspiring by the end of that?
No, but I had to. It was...
Your heart was beating fast.
A little bit of one of those little cold sweats. Not like, you know, I've been on TV a couple times where I got nervous and you start sweating, kind of like Albert Brooks in broadcast news. But that was, it was a little bit different. I didn't want to make a mistake, and I almost did.
Well, you did. I corrected you.
You know what? I knew we were having him on. So I was like, dude, you remember everything, but why don't you just go back and look at 77 and 78, make sure you got it all right. And I did, and I know, and I almost, and if he doesn't say you better be careful, I might have butchered it.
By the way, you better be careful! If you want to go listen to 30 minutes of just listening to Reggie Jackson talk about baseball, life, Oakland, everything in between, please go to the Odyssey app, check it out, and also hopefully be up on YouTube in a little bit.
You got to Google it.
But you also called an audible.
Oh.
We talked about this with the boss. That.
Oh. Did I go rogue?
Yes. Yes, you did.
Oh, no.
You broke off a play like Chris Mullen did in the 90s. And it was in the middle of the interview. So, obviously, what Reggie Jackson said at the Rickwood Field event was powerful and emotional, and it was incredible. And we talked about it before the show because, number one, it was my idea. Number two... We talked about it with the boss.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Being one of the last things we asked him because it was so powerful that you basically asked me to transition out of something that was... No, I mean, I did it. It's what I do. But basically, you broke off the play, and then with 2 seconds on the shot clock, you threw the ball to the corner and said, make a bucket. And to be fair, I did, but...
We went Rickwood Field, Otani, Black Panthers. What's wrong with that?
Then you went back to the Black Panthers. I know we're all over the place, but we got Reggie Jackson.
Sometimes you just got to mumble something and stay out of the way.
Well, I can honestly say that was his 564th home run.
Yeah.
That interview. That
was I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
All right. We're done for today, right?
No, we still got 2 hours left. Oh, sorry.
We should have. What we should have done is
2:12.
Save that for the end. But anyway, More details on that real quick. The Reggie Jackson Softball Classic. It's happening at 1 o'clock on Sunday at the Coliseum. Barry Bonds, Dave Stewart, Dennis Eckersley, Ricky Henderson, Canseco, Coco Crisp. You can get tickets for that at Ticketmaster. You can go on to Reggie Jackson's Instagram page, and the link is in his bio. So if you want to get out to the Coliseum Sunday, that'll be a lot of fun. He's hoping 5,000, maybe 7,000 out there. Let's give him about 15.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Let's get about 15,000 out there.
Yeah, you can also, I think on his IG, you can go buy some tickets.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. All right.
Real quick, guys. Sure. Just a little side note here. People are interested in this sort of stuff. The modern era candidates for the Pro Football Hall of Fame was just trimmed to 50. And there's a couple of first-timers on there. We don't have to discuss this for 20 or 10 minutes or anything like that. Just some notable names. That is the top 50 now. And obviously, they go through a process, and they'll reveal the candidates closer to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'll give you a yes or no right off the bat to save people time.
A couple of first-timers that made the list this year.
All right.
And the quarterbacks, there's two.
Cousins? First,
no.
Oh, my God.
Stop. Eli Manning made the cut.
Well, he's going to be an interesting one.
And Steve McNair has been on the ballot before, and now he's there again. So you got Eli and Steve. For running backs, first year for Marshawn Lynch, he made the cut. Will he be a first ballot guy? Not sure. Very good. Going down the list, Joe Staley, offensive lineman. He made the cut. Marshall Yanda, another one, obviously a long time. Baltimore Raven, I want to say, Marshall Yanda. Linebackers, guard. Luke Kuechly, T. Sizzle, Terrell Suggs. Defensive backs, Earl Thomas. And special teams, Adam Vinatieri. Those are all the first-timers. So maybe we'll see some of those guys getting in.
You putting Kuechly in?
Willis had to wait. I think Kuechly should, because their accolades are almost identical in time play.
Right. Kuechly's got a DPOY,
that is
though.
Different, that's, correct.
He's also, yeah.
But Kuechly didn't play as long.
Played just about the same amount.
Oh,
same
did he? I thought Kuechly was a guy who left early, left the game early.
They
a little
both
bit,
did.
Relatively
they did.
Speaking.
They both retired by the time I think they were at or before 30. But,
gotcha.
Yeah, the Eli Manning one's going to be interesting.
I think he's going to get in. You don't, Spadone?
Well, I do. I just think it's a joke that he's going to get in and not Jim Plunkett, who's been waiting for a very
long
time.
Well, they both need to be in if one's in. You know what I mean? I'm with you there. Plunkett, of course, won two.
R.I.P. Eric McNair. And then, of course, Oakland's own Marshawn Lynch. He's absolutely a Hall of Famer. First ballot. I don't know how many running backs have been first ballot. I mean, recently Tomlinson, Falk, I imagine, was first ballot. I don't know where Lynch's career numbers stack up against, I don't know, like Curtis Martin, I think, is in. So, I mean, Frank Gore, that's somebody I know that was not on the first ballot.
He's got to get in.
I mean, he's up there, the career numbers.
Exactly.
As far as individual seasons that were great, I think he played probably at a time in which there was a lot of other great running backs, so he gets lost. But,
you know who he reminds me of a little bit? Frank Gore?
Stop.
No.
Stop it.
Oh, shoot. Now I forgot what I was going to say.
He'll be eligible next year, by the way.
It's a great analogy.
First-year guy. Frank Gore. And Adrian Peterson, 2 years, because he retired in 21.
What do you give me for this?
Frank
Gore is the running back. How about this, Spadone and Evan? Frank Gore is the running back version of Mike Evans. Mike Evans as a receiver. A lot of really good years just piled on top of each other.
So I think actually he's also interesting because there's a player today who was traded, DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay.
He's going to the Kansas City Chiefs for a 6th-round pick, can become a 5th. And I think DeAndre Hopkins is a better wide receiver than Mike Evans. In fact, at their best, I actually don't think it's close. I'd rather have DeAndre Hopkins on any field. But because Mike Evans is a player that has had sustained success and, you know, probably on his way to another 1,000-yard year, although he's banged up now, I do wonder if you're looking long-term at guys that are going to be Hall of Fame candidates. It's someone like, all right, Hopkins or Evans. I don't know. I mean,
Evans only has one Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Only, yeah.
Well, they're pretty elusive in this town, as we've found.
Well, in this town, but they're giving away like participation trophies at all other places around the country.
Easy.
All right.
We just talked to a guy with 5 rings, okay?
Yes, we did. All right, here's what's going on the other side. We're going to get back to the Warriors, the Golden State Warriors. Their season opener is tonight against the Portland Trailblazers. You can hear that game live at 95.7 The Game. Obviously, we have all the Warriors games, and Evan and I are coming up with our questions for the season. What are some of the pressing questions for the Golden State Warriors?
I think we're on number four.
Yep. 888-957-9570 if you want to jump into the conversation. The Golden State Warriors, where are they headed this year? We'll find out, and it starts tonight. What's coming up on The Game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.